From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Elmwood, Berkeley.
I live in Mahate.
North-ish, Oakland.
I live in the Western Addition.
Lake Merritt.
The Twin Peaks.
I'm from the Outer Sunset, and I love it.
Coming up, Oakland poets vie for the title of Youth Poet Laureate.
He heard nothing but the monstrous, ear-piercing roar of grenade blasts shooting through battlefields.
Then we'll hear powerful poetry coming from the winner's pen and paper.
Merciless maggots squirmed across my room in a pernicious dance amongst the wrinkled white walls, squealing like demonic plagues beneath the creaking floorboards.
And we'll hear how a mortifying performance can help fulfill a childhood fantasy.
Being on stage, it was like realizing a dream that I never knew I had to be a real rap star.
The poetry of youth, today on Cross Currents. Across the country, poet laureates are almost always appointed by government officials. Often they're college professors with lengthy resumes. Not so in Oakland, where being a professor would actually disqualify you. Every year since 2012, Oakland has been crowning a high school student as its poet laureate. This year, seven finalists performed their work at a gallery in the city's uptown neighborhood. KALW's Holly J. McDeed tells us what they had to say.
Then once we get to one, after we do one, we have to make the nastiest, most troll coming down from the mountaintop sound we've ever made in our lives, right?
The final performance of Oakland's aspiring poet laureates isn't a poetry slam. Judges have already chosen the winner, though they haven't said who it is yet. But these seven poets have nothing to win or lose tonight. They're just here to perform for the city they might end up representing. Outside the gallery on Frank Ogawa Plaza, Gabriel Cortez, the MC for the evening, leads the poets in a warm-up exercise to help make them brave. The poets are nervous and huddle close to one another. Most of them haven't seen each other perform before, so they're not sure what to expect. They make eye contact. And with one final troll-like cry, they head into the gallery to wait for their turn to read. The room is jam-packed with literature lovers, parents, and friends.
And today we're going to be naming the 2015 Oakland Youth Poet Laureate. Wow, right? Can we make some noise for that?
The competition's a partnership between the Oakland Public Library and nonprofit Youth Speaks. Over the next year, the winner will have a few jobs. Run a Facebook page, respond to messages from fans and from the media, and attend at least five literary events. This year, more than 50 people applied for the Poet Laureate job. The final seven were chosen for their leadership potential. Judges looked at their resumes, as well as at the boldness and originality of their poetry.
I need you to say yeah.
Yeah.
I said, if y'all are ready to hear some incredible poetry from the town of Oakland, say oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
First up is Erickson Amaya. He's 18, one of the older competitors. The youngest is 16.
Poetry is his power, his source of healing, and his resistance. Clap it up one more time for Erickson, y'all. See, I'm trying to forget images of brown people with bongs, of Cheech and Chong, of hard taco shells from Taco Bell disguised as mine. I'm tired of gangbangers being the only representation of me on TV. I'm still wondering why they had to make a Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2 and 3. See, at times I be wondering why Narcos is the only Spanish word most people know, and why Cancun and Acapulco are the only places in Mexico that most people go. See, I'm thinking about...
Amaya's work is charged with calls for social justice. But the rest of the poetry is a blend of the personal and the political.
I'm sad that I had to take his brain when there were a thousand other places that could have hit him, and he'd still be able to tell me he loved me without stuttering.
Not with tingling heat, but the numb cold.
But I know I'm not alone. We're 11 million strong, and like it or not, we call this land our home. Thank you.
Lucy Flattery Vicknes's poem is dedicated to her friend Jay. She's white, Jay is black, and her poem is about realizing that they live in two very different worlds.
Little boy black sat in the back, two desks behind and one to the right, just close enough for hot breath on pale neck and note passing. Jay, this one's for you. 5'5", I know you can't dunk, Jay, but I promise, in our second life, splash siblings forever, okay, Jay? Jay, are you listening?
Tova Ricardo dedicates her poem to her grandfather and his tiger tattoo.
He heard nothing but the monstrous, ear-piercing roars of grenade blasts shooting through battlefields like fallen stars, frightening creatures beneath feet, striking men drawn to war from propaganda greed, and heard the pounding roar of his country repeat. Vain exposure, ink.
And before Azaria Cole Shepherd starts reading, she warns the audience that she's not there to read poetry. She's there to tell a story.
Shot after shot, another brother shot dead. Won't be given any justice for the shot in his head. One shot, another dead and gone. And what can we do? Our worth is neglected. Another black king, another black queen. Our knowledge is our power. They don't want to hear us sing of freedoms. They don't want to hear a scream of war. They don't want to hear a scream at all.
But tonight, hundreds of people are listening. Go to almost any other open mic around the Bay, and the stages will be dominated by an older generation. Tonight, the young poets own the show. Wynn says that's what Oakland's Youth Poet Laureate program is all about.
We take the talent of Oakland youth and bring it to a much wider stage like you saw tonight. There's so much heart and soul in these youth in the community. Our youth are talented, and we just facilitate them.
But it's also a competition, and there's only one winner. Mayor Libby Schaff walks to the front of the room.
All right, you did not come here to hear a politician ramble on. You came here to honor our young people.
And the official Poet Laureate of Oakland is...
Tova Ricardo.
Ricardo walks to the front of the room, where she's handed a giant $5,000 check.
Oh my gosh. This means the world to me. For me, I just want us, the youth, just change the world, to go out there and to fight this crazy, crazy system that's trying to knock all of us down, and to just speak our truth, because that's the only thing that's gonna save us. We're gonna save us. So, thank you so much.
Ricardo is a 16-year-old Bentley High School student, and she's an active leader in her school's diversity club. Now she's going to go a step further to represent her entire city.
I want to inspire youth to whatever art form or whatever way they find peace and sanity to keep going with that and to not give up and not feel like they're not worth anything, that because everyone has a voice, everyone has a story, no matter what it is. You shouldn't listen to what other people say. You write from your heart, because no one's going to tell your story. You're the only one that's going to tell your story.
Ricardo may hold the Oakland Youth Poet Laureate title for the next year, but her plan is simple. Keep reading, keep writing. She's already giving shape to a lot of complex feelings, and that's poetry. In Oakland, I'm Holly J. McDeed for Cross Currents.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney. You just heard from the seven finalists in Oakland's Youth Poet Laureate competition, but only one of Oakland's youth won the title. It's 16-year-old Tova Ricardo. From a young age, she was taught never to censor herself, and that attitude caught the judges' attention.
I will not rhyme for you. When you tell me to rhyme, when you tell me to rhyme, my blank canvas face is sacrificed to you like a tribal offering, upholding a stature of authority to point narrow-minded fingers from narrow-minded reflexes at me to determine whether or not I will be splattered with black or white paint. No, not brown. They wouldn't dare use such a shade, just black or white.
Now that Tova Ricardo is Oakland Youth Poet Laureate, she wants to show the rest of Oakland's young literary community that they shouldn't be afraid to speak out either.
It's about making a connection with people. It's about inspiring, especially the youth, like the Oakland Youth Poet Laureate. I'm here to represent Oakland youth in the literary arts. I want to inspire them. I want them to see me. I want them to see my picture. I want them to hear my poetry and be like, that's someone who's gonna make change.
KALW's Hannah Baba sat down with Tova Ricardo to hear some of the poetry that's helped earn her a place as Oakland's Youth Poet Laureate.
The poem is called The Forgotten Willow. Merciless maggots squirmed across my room in a pernicious dance amongst the wrinkled white walls, squealing like demonic plagues beneath the creaking floorboards. They peeked under my bed till the sky heavily darkened as my face was melting with delicate tears. I called out, I released a petrified howl from my vocal dome so that a barren basin would rumble with great ease. Believes answer no call of mine, an exhausted gurgle upon my lifeless tongue, devoured by poisonous beasts, merciless maggots I've seen, all too familiar and frightening, mind racing, age increasing terror. If I'd stared any longer, I would have been stripped of futuristic visions. Leaves wanted no space of mine, you see. Leaves stuffed me in abandoned trees, you see. But I couldn't breathe. A veiled piece of the forest steep from sight. No more a whimsical willow, just bleak. No more a whimsical willow, just bleak, you see.
Now that was about more than maggots.
Yeah.
What was it about?
It was about, because like maggots are like tiny little things, little buggies, you know, no one really likes. And it's like those small things that keep nipping at you and drive you crazy. And it's me trying to fight, trying to, you know, call out, trying to say, can someone help me? Someone help me. And they keep coming back. But really it was just about like that fight that I'm having with those maggots, with those little things that keep driving me crazy.
So what role have the adults in your life played in furthering this talent?
Like my mother, she has told me, you, like in terms of my poetry, you speak your truth. Don't worry about if I'm sitting here, anyone from our family, whoever, don't be afraid to say what you need to say. You know, it might hurt someone's feelings, you know, but so what? This is your work and you can't censor it. There's so many people that have helped me, my auntie, my uncle, my grandparents, a poem.
And do they get it?
Yeah.
They get it.
Yeah. One poem that I submitted to the Oakland Youth Poet Laureate application, I wrote for my grandpa, and because it was about his tattoo, and he used to tell me stories about it. So this poem is called The Tiger Tattoo. The thump of his brown wooden cane against the white tiles in his house echo the pitter-patter of fighter feet on the ground of North Korea, echo the torn-up cartilage in his knees. Those were the bee's knees, I tell you. But they shook like chaotic cowbells as an officer passed by the segregated diner back home where he could be shot alone for appearing like a threat, not walking obediently and direct back home where his torn-up bee's knees shook and shook. But the tiger tattoo remained still. He was a fighter, they both were. Even when color lines were drawn on his back spine, he rose. He rose from down below in the blood flow of a foreign murder game. There, he rose.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. It was just basically dedicated to my grandpa and his fight and what he had to go through, especially in war and having to come back and basically having to fight for a country somewhere else. And those people, they never did anything to him. They never called him the N-word, nothing. And then to come back to a country and you could be shot because of the color of your skin, that just didn't sound right to me. And the tiger tattoo, honestly, just represented his strength. It was like, I felt like it was his buddy. It was like they're keeping him company. And they had to come back here, back to America, and have to still be discriminated against.
So what are your plans in addition to the poetry?
If you know me, by the time I'm 40 years old, I'm probably still writing. Probably my job will involve writing, probably a big part of it. And that's what honestly I hope to do. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what it will look like, but it will include writing. I know that for sure.
That was Tova Ricardo, Oakland's newest youth poet laureate, speaking with KALW's Hannah Baba. Thank you. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney. Some live performances are poetic, and some aren't. Imagine the most embarrassing moment of your life. Really, the most humiliating thing that's ever happened to you. Now, imagine standing on a stage in front of hundreds of strangers and telling them in detail about that time. That's the concept behind Mortified. It's a kind of tell-all performance art taking place in clubs across the U.S. where people volunteer. In fact, they compete. They actually audition to read from their personal, private childhood diaries. I spoke with Mortified's Bay Area producer, Scott Lifton. What exactly is Mortified?
Mortified is a show where everyday people get on stage and read their journals, poems, lyrics, and love songs. Their lamest, most pathetic, traumatic childhood material in front of total strangers.
Why do they do that?
One, you get to be a performer. If you're not an actor, you get the thrill of performing in front of a crowd. But there's also like a self-help kind of catharsis that comes both with the audience and the performer. Part of it is just that they recognize the pains as their own and all the childhood experiences. Everybody relates to it.
October 26, 1993. Dear Diary, I don't want to start smoking, yet I do. It's really relaxing. And it looks cool, at least to me. If it wasn't addictive, I would smoke all the time.
When you're 16 and you spend a lot of your time listening to The Cure and The Smiths, and no girl has ever liked you, thank you, this is the kind of poem you write. Do not speak to me of hope. I have seen doom breathing icy stillness that did not even have the decency to be blackness.
It brings you back even to hear the references, the obscure music and movies and perm references.
How do you know these personal diary entries are actually authentic? I mean, people could see this as a great opportunity to perform and make something up, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could. I mean, we see all the diaries before we put them on. And you just can't really fake that kind of naivety and that kind of ironic, random sort of sense that you have when you're younger. Well, there really is a process when we're going over the diaries with people. We use all the real material, but we do try to find a story within there. And we've just been going over their pieces with them for so long that eventually they're kind of like our little children that are blossoming. You know, we've been working with them on their piece. One is Angela Barber.
Hi, my name is Angela Barber, and I work as the customer service representative at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. I'm going to be going on tonight and pretty much spilling my guts.
What are you hoping to get out of this experience?
I find that this is a very creative way to express who I truly am. You know, for years I've been doing some corporate work and, you know, just hiding behind the everyday facade. And through this, I've found that I really am that child that has written, you know, these journals for years. I mean, I'm still that same person, and it's very interesting to see myself revealed again.
June 7th. I'm at sixth grade camp. There's a perverted guy. He kept saying I was pretty and bugging me. He kept sneaking by and spraying water on me. He's a man, not a child. I hate him. A girl said he gave her the creeps too. I better call America's Most Wanted and see if he's an escaped perverted convict.
Post-show, Angela Barber, how was that experience for you?
It was really fabulous. I thought that I did better than I thought I would originally. It's judging it as an adult, you see that it wasn't as serious as it may have seemed.
December 28th, 1995. A diary is seeming like a useless book with surface thoughts, and the reading of it brings back pain more than happiness. I don't think I should read it in years to come.
Well, many, many people have decided to share their own most personal moments of teenagehood publicly. In fact, one of our own decided to mortify herself. It's KALW's Chris Hambrick, also known as...
Spicy, with the C. It's like spice hyphen C, the letter C. because every good rapper has a rapper name.
Right. When Spice C, also known as Chris Hambrick, was growing up in Detroit, she used to keep a journal. So when she decided she wanted to get mortified, she went back home to see what she could find. And to give you a better sense of what it takes to share your innermost teenaged feelings, we're going to share Spice C's story with you.
When I went to my mom's house and I found all my old diaries, I found that I didn't really have continuous entries. But what I did find among that stuff was these raps that I wrote when I was 14. I was just starting in high school. I was a freshman. And I had forgotten all about it. I completely forgot that I was an aspiring battle rapper. And like some of the lyrics were really, really hard. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm nicety nice. I'm, you know, but this person on paper was super like aggressive and full of, you know, like bravado. I've got rhythm and it's flowing through my bone. Just I've got the rhythm and I know how to bring the beat home. I've got beauty, poise, ability to make noise. They leave a lasting impression on all the fly boys. So forget that girl fire, forget that girl ice, cause there is a new queen and her name is Spice. I was walking down the street when a guy approached me. He said, Queen Spice, you're looking quite lovely. Is there anything that I can do for you? You already know very well that I adore you. I said, not right now. I'm thinking of a plan to get rid of all those girls who think they're in command. They better give that stuff a break, do a double take, and never ever make a mistake. Cause I've got the rhythm. And as soon as I got off stage, people in the audience were just like, oh, wow, that was really great, and like patting me on the back and telling me how brave I was and that they never had the nerve to do that. And I was like, no, you should do it. It feels so good because it's like you've shared something that as a teenager would have gotten you laughed off of any talent show stage and ostracized and given a weird nickname for the rest of the year. But then as an adult, you're a hero because you were brave enough to share this part of you with complete strangers.
Chris has been on the mortified stage four times now.
I was at a food court in San Francisco, some mall, and somebody said, aren't you Spicy? And they called me by my rapper name. And it felt really good. I felt like I was a legitimate, you know, rapper, like in that moment. Like I know that I don't have an album out and I have no plans to do an album. But in that moment, I felt real. I felt like I did my younger self proud. Like if I, you know, ever felt like you didn't be what, you know, you didn't accomplish what you set out to do, what you said you were going to be as a kid. Like I feel like I've accomplished something for 14-year-old Chris.
KALW's Chris Hambrick. Thanks for sharing your story with us, Spice C. Want to hear more? You can cringe for yourself at the next Mortified show later this month. It's at the DNA Lounge in San Francisco on Friday the 14th and at the New Parish in Oakland on Saturday the 15th. You can also check out the Mortified podcast. Find a link at KALW.org. While you're there, subscribe to our podcast. We tell a lot of stories on Cross Currents, and you can catch up with the ones you missed individually or as part of shows whenever you like. Sign up for the Cross Currents podcast right now at kalw.org. We're here for you, and because of you, we can proudly say we are listener-supported public radio. Our team includes Hannah Baba, Audrey Dilling, Berenice Freedom, Catherine Girardot, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Allison Lee, Casey Miner, Ted Muldoon, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. Line producer was Liz Mack. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Our managing producer is Julie Kane. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. The band you're listening to now goes by the name We Became Owls. They'll be at the UC Berkeley Botanical Garden on Thursday as part of the summer concert series in the Redwood Grove. Doors open at 5 p.m., but check for tickets online before you go. These shows frequently sell out. For Cross Currents, I'm Ben Trefney.
sunglasses blue and white. Upon your head, the mortuary signs glowing red. They guard the dead.